Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
It's Fan Mail Friday. Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Every once in a while, we take the last day of the week to go through some of the quote-unquote fan mail that we have received. And of course, fan mail, as I said, is in quotation marks. Fan mail that we have received from Mormon readers or listeners, people who have written us and are not too happy about some of the things that we have said. So we like to read them on the air and critique their criticisms. Today, we have an email from a man named Travis, who wrote to express his consternation with what we are doing at Mormonism Research Ministry.
He says, "Name one other organization ministry that has a sole purpose of disproving a Christian church other than the LDS Church. I'm confident that you will not find one."
Okay, let's stop right there. First of all, we don't believe that the Mormon Church is a Christian church. If we thought the Mormon Church was a Christian church, we probably wouldn't be critiquing it at all.
We wouldn't be talking right now.
No, but we see the Mormon Church as a pseudo-Christian church. It claims to be Christian, but yet its doctrines do not support that position. So when he says, has any ministry has a sole purpose of disproving a Christian church, first of all, let's put things in perspective. We aren't doing that. From our position, we don't see the Mormon Church as being a Christian church. And I know Mormons are thinking, yeah, but we have the name of Jesus Christ in the name of our church. And I would say, but that does not necessarily mean that what you teach are Christian principles.
Last week, I spoke to, I think, probably about 10 or 12 different people associated with the Mormon Church officially, whether a host or missionary, and that's the number one view that they don't like at all, to have anybody think that they're not a Christian church. We've talked about this a lot, but it's a big issue. And here, the idea for Travis is, how dare you not allow us to be a Christian church?
Well, he says, "I'm confident that you will not find one." Well, wait a minute. There are a lot of Christian ministries that focus on one particular religious belief system. There are Christian ministries that focus on Jehovah's Witnesses.
Islam.
That's not us. Islam would be another one. Or Hinduism, or any of the Eastern religions. There are people who their expertise is in that area.
In the western part of the United States, there are a lot of groups associated with this because this is where Latter-day Saints live.
And I guess I just get a little bit bored when I hear Mormons say, well, why do you just pick on us? Yet when I asked them, would you feel much better if I picked on 5, 6, 7, 10 other religions at the same time? Would you then not write me? Well, of course that wouldn't set their mind at ease. They just don't want us to criticize them.
He goes on and says, "Why, you ask? Because light stirreth of darkness. Satan knows the LDS Church is the one and only true Church of Christ."
Well, how do we know that? That's his position.
That's his presupposition.
That's his presupposition that he holds. We don't share that position. We would not say that. How do we know that Satan knows that the LDS Church is a false church and wants people like Travis to believe it's true? And then would he rather we stay quiet? Of course, I would hope Travis, if he really loves the truth, would want us to speak up and hopefully show him some of the problem areas of his belief system.
He goes on and says, "Therefore, he deceives the hearts of many and puts them on a path to try and detour those from joining Christ's church."
How do we know that's not him? See, I would look at it that Travis is describing himself from my worldview, from my vantage point.
Here he goes with his presupposition again and says, "No other Christian church has more hate and negative attention directed towards them than does the LDS Church."
Well, here we go again with that word Christian church. And even if you took the word Christian out and said no other church or no other organization has more hate and negative attention directed towards them than does the LDS Church, What makes him think that we hate him?
I guess what I would say, Travis, if you're listening to this, is show us where our motives are in question. Show us on our website, for instance, or on any of our radio shows where we don't have concern for somebody. We are certainly trying our best to tell the truth in a loving and kind way, but because we oppose, you may feel that that's hateful, and I don't think it is.
Well, sadly, Travis is a victim of his culture, and let's be serious. That's where our culture is going. To disagree is equated with hatred. Yet, it's perfectly okay for Travis to express his disagreement with us with all his threatenings. And this is really all this email is just one huge paragraph of threats. He doesn't really try to convince us that we are wrong in the things that we present. He merely wants to try and intimidate us by calling us names, saying we're working for the devil, and that our motives are somehow tainted.
He writes, "You are doing the work of Satan without even knowing. By their fruits you shall know them. The only fruit you have brought forth is negative and contentious, and contention is of the devil."
To which I ask, if contention is really of the devil, why does Travis sound so contentious in what he's presenting here?
Excellent point.
And this is often what they do. They will express their contention with us. But yet the Bible tells us that we are supposed to earnestly contend for the faith. Jude 3, we are doing what the New Testament tells us we must do. Now, is that sometimes going to come across as negative? Yes, of course. When we are challenging someone's presupposition or worldview, naturally that's going to be interpreted as being negative, because they don't want to see that there is actually a positive reason why we are doing this. It's for their benefit. It's not just to be negative. We're hoping to bring something positive out of this discussion.
The mild and meek Jesus of Mormonism is a myth. We got to get that through, because if you read what Jesus says about some of the most righteous people of the day, it sounds pretty contentious to me. And then Paul, what was his first place that he'd visited anytime he went to a city? He went to the Jewish synagogue. They didn't like it. I mean, as far as contending for the faith, we see good examples in those two godly men, and we're trying to do exactly what the Bible has told us to do. He goes on and says, "You clearly are not doing the Lord's work. You know as well as I do, the Lord does not work in the manner in which you have conducted your ministry."
Oh, really? Well, actually, Travis, we've done exactly what Mormon leaders have said we are supposed to do, and we have plenty of quotations to support that.
George Albert Smith said on August 13, 1871, in Journal of Discourses, Volume 14, page 216, "If a faith will not bear to be investigated, if its preachers and professors are afraid to have it examined, their foundation must be very weak." We also have Hugh B. Brown, who was part of the First Presidency, and he wrote in The Abundant Life, page 51, "Be dauntless in your pursuit of truth and resist all demands for unthinking conformity. No one would have you become mere tape recorders of other people's thoughts. Be modest and teachable and seek to know the truth by study and also by faith. There have been times when progress was halted by thought control. Tolerance and truth demand that all be heard and that competing ideas be tested against each other so that the best, which might not always be your own, can prevail. Knowledge is most complete and dependable when all points of view are heard." One other quote. This is from J. Reuben Clark, The Church Years. This is from 1983. He said, "If we have the truth, it cannot be harmed by investigation. If we have not the truth, it ought to be harmed."
If I might add one more, one of my favorite ones is Orson Pratt. Orson Pratt was a Mormon apostle who actually said, "Convince us of our errors of doctrine, if we have any, by reason, by logical arguments, or by the Word of God, and we will be ever grateful for the information, and you will ever have the pleasing reflection that you have been instruments in the hands of God of redeeming your fellow beings from the darkness which you may see enveloping their minds. Come then, let us reason together and try to discover the true light upon all subjects." So you see, Travis, when you say we are not doing the Lord's work, that we're not doing it according to the way God would have us, your own leaders have encouraged us to do exactly what we are doing by trying to convince you and all Latter-day Saints of their errors of doctrine. The only way we can do this is either by putting them on the web, on the printed page, or over the airwaves. We're doing what they say.
Well, who's being more obedient to the teachings of these men? Travis or us?
It would sound like we are. Anyway, let's finish this up, because yeah, he goes on to say.
He says, surely the Lord God will do nothing but he revealeth his secret unto the servants, the prophets.
Now, here he is. He's misquoting Amos 3:7, which is, again, another typical mistake that Latter-day Saints make. They take a verse and they rip it from its context and try to make it apply to what they believe. Amos 3:7 is merely stating that God is not going to bring a judgment upon the people unless he first warns them. So if anything, Travis, we might be that fulfillment of Amos 3:7 because we see impending eternal judgment for those who place their trust in false prophets and membership in a false church. We are the warning, you might say, that God has sent to you personally to show you that there is an impending judgment that's coming, and we're trying to warn you of that before it happens.
One of my favorite characters in the Book of Mormon is Samuel the Lamanite. Yeah. Samuel the Lamanite is up on the wall trying to preach the truth, and he's mocked. They actually have Samuel the Lamanite at the Mormon Miracle Pageant. I always like to point out to the Mormons, what we're doing.
Well, what does Travis do with us? He says, what secrets has the Lord revealed to you? That's what I thought. Have fun doing what you're doing. I get a kick out of
it. Isn't he mocking us?
Sounds like it. Sounds like he is mocking us. And that's not uncommon. That's okay. That's okay, because we understand the source from whence it comes. But still, I would hope that Travis would understand that our desire to share these things, because we get a lot of this kind of email from Mormons who just don't understand the motives behind what we're doing. Do we really relish getting these kind of emails? No. Do we relish being thought of as being nothing but hateful bigots? Of course not.
We love the Latter-day Saints. That's the reason why we do this. I think our motives are pure.
And yet we say it as often as we can. And of course, a Mormon doesn't have to believe it. But yet we do say, hey, judge us by our fruits. Go see what we're doing. See what we're saying. Are we not in line with what the New Testament actually says? I think we are.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. In his second letter to the Thessalonians, Paul wrote, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored. We at Mormonism Research Ministry hope you will likewise pray for us that the word will go forth and be glorified. Pray for direction as we seek the Holy Spirit's guidance as to where God wants us to focus our attention. Pray for wisdom that we might have the right words to speak to Latter-day Saints who are struggling with their faith. Pray for the physical and spiritual health of our staff and families. Pray that, as a ministry, we are able to meet the financial obligations that naturally accompanies effective ministries. Pray for opportunities to educate fellow Christians who may not feel confident when sharing their faith with their Mormon friends and loved ones. We hope that you will also pray for the entire body of Christ, that all of us will have a greater love for those who are lost, and that this love will give us a sense of urgency to share the message of grace that sets the captive free.